I was speaking at a luncheon over at Hillcrest, great big church over in North Dallas, and there were probably 200 or 300 people at that luncheon that day. After I got through speaking, I said, if there's anybody here that would like to be prayed for, I'd stay and be happy to pray for you. Well, this guy come walking up here, and he says, you remember me? I looked at him. I said, no, sir, I don't remember you. He said, I was the guy that had the 2700 vision. I said, oh. I said, then, but you're not wearing any glasses anymore. He said, that's right. I had it, but I don't have it anymore. He said, you told me what to do, and I started saying that. And he said, I said it, and I said it, and I said it, and I said it. He said, for months I said it. No telling how many times I said it. He said, one day I was driving down the freeway out here. I said, Lord, thank you, according to Mark 11:23, for my perfect, clear, sharp eyes. I can see perfect in the name of Jesus. And he said, I heard a voice. You finally believe it. He said, yes, Lord, I believe it. See, he thought he believed it the first time he said it. But obviously, he didn't. Because, see, God alone knows in your heart, doesn't he? He says, you must not doubt in your heart. He had told his heart this over and over and over until finally God says, that's it. That time, you got it. And he said, well, Lord, I believe it. He said, well, then why don't you take off your glasses? So he said, I pulled off to the side of the road and stopped. I took my glasses off and I looked out there expecting to see everything and said, couldn't see nothing. Now see, God's testing him, isn't he? He's going to find out. And you know what a lot of people would have said? I don't believe this. It didn't work. And he still would have been blind. But he said, Lord, I want to thank you one more time for my perfect, clear, sharp eyes. I can see perfect day and night, up close and far away, because it's written in Mark 11:23, thank you, Lord, for my good, clear eyes. And he said, Thurman, as God is my witness, my eyes came into clear, perfect focus. I said, wow. I said, I guess you read the word. He reached in his pocket and pulled out a little Bible and flipped it open. He said, let me read that Mark 11:23. I said, you can read that? About a four font? He said, yes. I said, Lord, I've been cheated. And you know what the Lord would probably tell me? When you have that kind of faith, son, I'll open yours like that. Is God a respecter of persons? No. If I had faith for that, he would give me the ability to read a four. Sometimes I can read a four, but not all the time. Sometimes I really have to concentrate on that little to be able to read it. But I am so grateful because there's a lot of numbers I have to deal with when I'm flying an airplane. I'm so grateful I don't have to wear a pair of glasses, you know, where I have to look up. And, you know, but if you have to wear those, that's okay because I used to have to wear those, but no more. I used to have to wear them, but praise God, I don't have to wear them no more. I'm finally getting there, you know, that I can see good. I just went down the other day, and in fact, nearly 3 years ago, whenever I had a medical down at, you have to go get a pilot's medical. They check you, you know, all this blood pressure, eyes, and everything. I went down there, and he checked me, and that day I was able to read the distance, no problem, but when it came to the up close stuff, he said, do you have a pair? I was having trouble reading that little bitty print he put there. He said, do you have a pair of reading glasses? I said, well, yeah, I do, but I don't hardly ever bring. He said, go get them. Went out and got them, put them on. He said, now can you read that? I said, yeah, I read it. He said, okay. So he put a restriction on my pilot's license. Must, for up close reading, you must have a pair of reading glasses available. This last year, just a few weeks ago or a few months ago, I went down there for my, I said, Lord, this time I ain't taking them glasses in there. I ain't even taking them with me. I'm not going to need them. I can read that print in the name of Jesus. I went in there and he said, can you read the number down? I said, yep, I read everything. He walked in another room, handed me this little bit of stuff. Can you read that? I read the whole thing right quick. He said, wow, man, you don't need them things. So this time my pilot's medical has no restrictions of no kind on it. Now, what does faith do? Faith does good things, doesn't it? But it takes time. Now then, Jesus clearly said, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Is that a pretty awesome statement? So what happens then? We try it, and it doesn't work. What's the problem? Unbelief. Unbelief. You have to get over that hurdle. How do you get over the hurdle of unbelief? Renewing your mind with the Word of God. Hearing the promises of God over and over and over. Like the man with the 2700 vision. I have no idea how many thousand times he said that. You know, that's diligence. You know, God knows. I mean, you know, he could have went out and said it for a month. I said, that Thurman, he's crazy. You know, he told me to say, I've said this a thousand times this month, and I still can't see nothing. He said, this stuff don't work. And it don't work, does it? But he did never give up. He was just as persistent as I was with my granddaughter. You know, when they told me she's dead, it's over, her brainstem severed, I said, no. I ain't going there. Nope. I mean, you know, when the doctor tells you, I'm sorry, 3-year-old girl, her skull's crushed in 5 places, her brainstem severed, her eyes are jerked out of her brain, her face is tore all to pieces, lacerated twice its size, blood's running out her eyes, ears, nose, mouth, everything. Every organ in her body is damaged somehow, everyone. Right knee crushed, left leg broken, right below her knee and right above her ankle. I'm sorry, sir, it's over. Caitlin's lethal. I said, well, then Jesus shouldn't have put John 15:7 in the Word. I want to show you what John 15:7 says. Look at this. John 15:7. You notice how it starts out? What's that big word it starts out with?
Yes.
Did you know that's the biggest word in English language? If. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. Isn't that great? But there's a requirement, isn't it? If you abide in me. Oh, I guess that means going to church on Christmas and Easter. That ought to be good enough.
Sure.
No, you don't think that's going to get it, do you, brother? No, I don't think going to church every Sunday is going to get it. I think 24/7, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. If you want God to do something for you, you better make sure He knows who you are 24/7. You know, kind of like a man and a wife being married. You know, the guy don't never pay no attention to his wife, don't never tell her he loves her, nothing. And then one day he wants something special, and he asks her to go do something for him, and she don't really want to go do it. Well, what's wrong with you, woman? You don't love me? Yes, I do. No, I married you 20 years ago, and in the last 15 years, you ain't said I love you one single time. Well, woman, I told you when I married you that I loved you, and if I ever change my mind, I'll tell you. That don't work, does it, girl? But you know, that's the way we treat God, isn't it? We wonder why our woman won't do nothing for us. But if you're telling her every day how pretty she is, how much you love her and everything else, hey, then you want something that's pretty easy to get it, isn't it? She'll do anything you ask her as long as you're loving her. But if you're not telling her that you're loving her, now, that's the same way it works with God. You want to get God to do something? You got to put Him first. You got to abide in Him. You got to spend time with Him. And if you do, then you come and ask Him for something. It's a piece of cake. I mean, I watched the Lord put Caitlin's little face back together in 2 weeks. That little face that was twice its size and tore all to pieces, and asked Him to put it back together without a scar. I didn't want a scab to form. Because I know little girls, when they grow up, they want to be beautiful. Do y'all know that? Little girls, they don't want a bunch of scars on their face, do they? No. They want to be beautiful. So I know that. So I asked the Lord, Lord, when you heal her, I want you to put skin back to skin. Did He say I could ask for anything?
Yes.
I don't want a normal healing. I mean, I serve a supernatural God, don't we?
Yes.
Did He say I could ask for anything?
Yes.
So I asked for anything. So I asked Him to put the skin back to skin. I don't want no scabs to form. I don't want no scars to form. I want that little face to be healed perfect without a single scar. Well, let me tell you. Now then, she's just become a young lady. She's 12 years old, going on 13. You know, of course, she thinks she's 18, you know. But you know how they are. You know how these little girls are. But she's a beautiful little girl. The other day, she's over here sitting in my lap in my office. Come back there. She is wanting me to do something for her. She's learned, come jump up in Granddaddy's lap, and she can just get just about anything she wants. She is sitting there in my lap with her arm around me, and I was just looking at that beautiful little face thinking, Lord, that thing is so smooth. It is so beautiful. You know, when you look at it up close and there's not a mark, it's so beautiful and smooth, you think, God, you do such awesome work. Does he? Of course, he does awesome work. What does it take to get him to do those kind of things? Faith. It takes faith to get him to do those kind of things. Obedience. Spending time with him, loving him, worshiping him, praising him. And then he says, come and ask me for anything and I'll do it for you. Isn't he awesome? Another one of the things you have to do to get God to do a healing for you is you must have God's word hidden in your heart. It must become a reality to you. I can remember back in the days when I was a deacon and a Sunday school teacher, if you'd have walked up to me and says, quote me your favorite 25 verses. I'd have said, you got to be kidding. Quote 25 verses? The other night when I was listening to them introduce Dr. Jack Van Impe, I had no idea this man has 17 PhDs. He's 80 years old. Have you seen him lately? Does he look 80 years old? No. But that's how they asked. He said, my next birthday. Paul asked him, said, Dr. Van Impe, how old are you? He said, my next birthday is just coming up shortly. I'll be 80. He said, how many scriptures have you memorized? He said, at least 15,000. At least 15,000. Well, I'm a little bit behind him. I haven't even, according to that stack, I haven't even got off of step number one yet. But God tells us to hide his word in our heart that we might not sin against him. Trying to be healed before you know what God's will is about healing is like trying to raise a crop of wheat in a field before you sow the seed. If you do not sow the seed, you will never get a crop, will you?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Is Any Sick Among You? In its entirety or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.